To become fully human, to become a real person, we could say to become the best version of ourself, and in light of faith, to become really that image and likeness of God, a person has to search for meaning and strive to find that meaning. An individual has to ask, well, where do I find truth? And thereby, the standards by which I live my life, and thereby, the way of life that's going to bring me real peace and happiness. Where do I find the friends who are going to accompany me on this path of life, who will care and look out for my best interests? If a person is really honest and humble, the answer is God. The Catechism opens and says, the desire for God is written in the human heart because man is created by God and for God, and God never ceases to draw a man to himself. Only in God will he find the truth and happiness he never stops searching for. Yes, only in God will our search come to find the great gift of truth, justice, peace, real happiness. Only in God will we have that best friend, that good shepherd, who's going to accompany us along the path of life. And so, my brothers and sisters, we think of the Magi. They saw this star in the sky, and they began their search. Now, they had been searching. The Magi, also known as the wise men, and sometimes we call them the three kings because of their precious gifts, were wise, but wise enough to know they did not know everything. They lived in the area of what was ancient Babylon, what today would be Iraq, where astronomy and astrology were prominent sciences. They had the prophecies. Remember, the prophet Daniel lived 600 years before our Lord, and as a Jewish exile, was in Babylon. He was King Nebuchadnezzar's chief magi. So they would have had those prophecies of Daniel about the Messiah. And now they saw a star unlike any other star. Now, astrophysicists, astronomers would say to us today that at this time, this could have been a conjunction of Jupiter with Venus and also the star Regulus. Consider, though, Jupiter, the largest planet named after the king of the Roman gods, with Venus, the goddess of motherhood and beauty, and Regulus, the little star, the little king star. This would have begun in its rising in the constellation of Leo, and then would have concluded in the constellation of Virgo. Leo would be the Lion of Judah, and Virgo the Virgin. But put it all together, could we not see a revelation, naturally speaking, of the Father sending his Son into this world through the Virgin, who was totally beautiful, full of grace, who came to the house of Judah, but really came to save all people. Whatever the star was, and I think that's the truth behind the story, they came. And they came searching with open hearts. They found the little baby Jesus. There, they prostrated themselves in adoration. They presented their gifts, gold for a king, frankincense for a priest, myrrh, that burial ointment, for one who would die. There they beheld the face of God. I think the beautiful hymn of Silent Night, third verse, captures it well when we sing, but I will read it, Silent Night, Holy Night, Son of God, love's pure light. Radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Yes, the light of the star was nothing compared to the light that they beheld in the face of Christ. True God from true God, light from light. There they saw the perfect revelation of who we're called to be, made in God's image and likeness. True God had become true man. Jesus has shown us how to be the best version of ourselves. He is the one who has revealed the truth, perfectly showing us God's way of life that leads to real happiness, to peace and contentment. He has come as that good shepherd to walk along with us in every circumstance of life, not just the joys, but even the sorrows, the sadness, the sufferings, even death itself. But to walk through with us through this life to bring us to everlasting life, so one day we can behold the face of the Holy Trinity. When light comes to perfection, when that faith gives way to vision, all that we've hoped for is fulfilled, and that love is perfected. So my brothers and sisters, these magi beheld the face of God. They left by a different route. And that, spiritually speaking, is their lives were changed. Now, we don't know exactly what happened afterwards, but tradition is that these magi, after the resurrection of our Lord, did come together once again, and somehow it was revealed to them all that had happened. We do consider them saints, and their relics are preserved in the Cathedral of Cologne, Germany. So we have this beautiful lesson on this Feast of the Epiphany. Awakening. Epiphany means awakening. So the real challenge for us is, as we are still in our Christmas season and we're beginning this new year, to be mindful that since our baptism, a great revelation has been given to us, that of Jesus Christ. And we're called to stay awake to His presence, to follow Him as that light, to find who we're called to be, to find that meaning of life. This means that each day that we have to present our gift of gold, meaning God's number one. God's the most precious of all things in our lives. Never should we let God take some secondary or even lower priority. God is God. And with that, to offer our gift of frankincense, to look upon Jesus really as that priest who leads us to the Heavenly Father, to our home in heaven. This means we take that time, again with the priority right, for daily prayer, committing ourselves to that time, for Mass, for regular confession, for doing the reading of sacred scripture, for doing other spiritual reading. Never should we stop searching. That's the key. None of us here should ever say, well, I know enough about the faith. How can we exhaust the faith? We should always want to know more. When we love, we always want to know more about the one that we love. And with that, then, we're called to give that gift of myrrh, that sacrificial ointment. So we make our sacrifices. So we love God with our whole heart, mind, and soul. But then we have to love our neighbor as ourself. We need to be mindful of doing those good corporal and spiritual works of mercy, helping those in need. By doing so, we find ourselves. It's in giving that we receive. We find our own identity. With that, though, we must be mindful that we aren't alone. Just as when the Magi beheld Christ and they saw Mary and Joseph, we need to be mindful we aren't alone either. So we have all the saints who are going to help us. They're praying for us. We have the church, a community of believers. Hopefully we have that good influence of our family, people who are sharing the faith with us, supporting us in our journey, no matter what the circumstance of life. Hopefully we have good friends to support us also. Here we do need to be on guard, because in the gospel we hear of King Herod, and we all know King Herod wanted to kill baby Jesus. And if we went one verse more, knowing that the Magi went a different route, he orders the slaughter of the innocents. Watch out for the friends who want to use and abuse, the ones who lead us down the wrong path into the life of sin, which eventually leads to self-destruction. For young people especially, be on guard against the Herods. For just as King Herod tried to seduce with friendship and pleasantries the Magi, so do such people. But in the end, they seek to destroy. And be careful, too, of the blasé scribes and Pharisees. Here one would think that they would be all excited. Here the Messiah had come. The prophecies are fulfilled. Instead, it's like, oh, ho-hum, go ahead, Magi. Be careful. We don't need the lackluster individuals who are blasé about the faith. We need people who are going to support us, people who really care, people who are going to motivate us and encourage us as we're pursuing the path. Because, my brothers and sisters, we all know life isn't easy. Life at times can seem overwhelming. I am sure that most people here have some kind of problem that they have to deal with during this coming year. We have that. But yet, we shouldn't lose sight of the light and the bigger picture. And that's why we stay awake to Christ. I came along an interesting story about the great actor Jimmy Stewart, who played the character George Bailey in that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Well, Jimmy Stewart had been a well-known actor in the 1930s. He made that great movie, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. But then World War II came about. He enlisted in the Army Air Corps. He was an officer. He was the leader of a squadron of B-24s. So for 20 months, he was in the front lines of the battle. His first 2 months over there, he led the squadron that dropped bombs in 12 missions in the course of 2 months. He had to take a break from it because of all the destruction, the killing, the bombing, and also the responsibility he had as the commander for all those under his leadership. Well, he would serve for 20 months. Eventually, he came back home in August of 1945. But he came back very much a broken man. He had seen so much in war. He had nightmares. His digestive system was all wrong. He could hardly eat anything. He spent 2 weeks with his parents. Then he went back to Hollywood, and he found that life had changed. Hollywood wasn't what he left it. He realized it was very superficial. Many of the roles that he used to have, he no longer had, because younger actors had taken the place. He felt like he was just overwhelmed with darkness. There was no meaning, no purpose to life. Frank Capra, the great Catholic film director, offered him a role, and that was of George Bailey. It's a Wonderful Life. Jimmy Stewart looked at the script and he said, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do it at all, because it reminded him of himself. His life was like that scene where he's on the bridge looking at that rushing water and thinking, there's no purpose, there's no meaning, there's no light to life anymore. He pulled out a letter that his father had written to him before he went off to war. He pulled out the letter, and his father was a very devout Presbyterian. And Jimmy read the letter, which reads, My dear Jim, soon after you read this letter, you will be on your way to the worst sort of danger. But Jim, I'm banking the enclosed copy of the 91st Psalm. The Lord is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. His truth shall be your shield. You shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. For he shall give his angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. The thing that takes the place of fear and worry is the promise in these words. I am staking my faith in these words. I feel that God will lead you through this mad experience. God bless you and keep you. I love you more than I can tell you, Dad. Well, Jimmy Stewart began to cry, and he accepted the offer to make the movie. But once again, he was awakened. The light came back. He saw meaning and purpose in his life. So, my brothers and sisters, on this Feast of the Epiphany, remember, stay awake, search for Christ, follow his light, present your gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh each day. And if you do, I guarantee you, by God's grace, you'll find meaning, you'll find purpose, and you'll never be alone.
Jesus will be with you. May God bless you.